Turn, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. The Gospel of John, chapter 9. And we read verse number 25. He answered, that is, the blind man answered, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." And I'm sure God will add a blessing to the public reading of his own word. John 9 is a very interesting chapter. It's a delightful story. It stands out for a number of reasons, because in John chapter 9, there seem to be a lot of people who don't know a lot of things. For example, in verse number 2, the disciples didn't know who had sinned. They said about this man that was born blind, they said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Strange question, because if the man was born blind, how could he have sinned before he was born? I don't know, perhaps they had some other strange ideas in mind, but they didn't know in verse 2 who had sinned, whether it was this man or his parents. Then, of course, the Jews didn't know, if you like, whether the blind man who could now see really had been the blind man they all had in mind. And they said, I think it's about verse 8, they said, "Is this he?" They didn't know. It had to be confirmed by his parents. Some people said, "Well, it looks like him." Others said, "Well, it might be him." The man himself said, "Yes, it's me," he said. But eventually the Jews, of course, still didn't believe that, and they had to go and ask his parents. And they said, "We know that he was born blind, and that, yes, this is him. We know," they said, "that this is our son." Again, in verse number 12, they didn't know where the Lord Jesus Christ was. They said, "Where is he? Where is he?" In verse number 21, I think you will see there that they didn't know, "But by what means he now seeth, we know not." In other words, the parents said, "We know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we don't know," they said. "We don't know." Further down again, verse 25, that we read, the blind man himself said, "Whether he," that is, "whether the Lord Jesus be a sinner or not, I don't know," he said. "I don't know these things." And down, I think, about verse number 29, you will see there that the Jews said about the Lord Jesus, "We know not whence he is." So you see, this chapter is filled with people who don't know things. However, there are some people and some things in the chapter, of course, that are known. We have mentioned one or two of them. We know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. And, of course, outstandingly, the blind man himself said, "One thing I know. One thing I know." Now, knowing things and having knowledge, of course, is something that we appreciate. We can acquire knowledge from a whole lot of different sources. There are some things that we just know because they're the things that surround us, they're our families in which we've been brought up, the areas in which we live, and so on. But there are other things that we need to know. We need to go to school or to college to learn particular things. We need to perhaps follow education to be able to pursue our careers. And to live in this world, we know things. And people are always interested in knowledge. And people will like to test their knowledge. That's why there are things like quizzes. That's why there are TV shows like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And all sorts of other questions and quizzes and so on. Because people like to demonstrate their knowledge. And knowledge, of course, is a good thing. And this blind man said, "One thing I know." Of course, you and I might have said to him, "Is it only one thing you know? Surely you know more than that." Well, he did know more than that. And because he knew that he was born blind, and he knew who his parents were and all the rest of it. But he said, "One thing I know." And it wasn't the fact that it was only one thing he knew, but what he was really saying was, the one outstanding thing that he knew, the one piece of knowledge that he now valued above every other piece of knowledge that he ever had or was likely to have, he said, "There's one thing outstanding, vital, that I now know." And I suppose if I were to say to you, "What's the greatest thing that you know?" you might have to pause and think and say, "Well, hey, look, not too sure about that question. There's a lot of things that are valuable to me." But ask this blind man, "What do you know, sir?" And he would say, "One thing I know. One thing I know." And what's that then? "Whereas I was blind, now I see." Well, that was worth knowing, wasn't it? This man had been born blind. Of course, when the disciples first saw this man, you remember the Lord Jesus Christ, as he passed by, he saw the man which was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him at the beginning of the chapter, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, that was an interesting question. I suppose they were demonstrating their lack of knowledge in this thing, but it's also a rather cynical question, I think. Here was a poor blind man, perhaps sat by the roadside or standing in the marketplace, and the 12 disciples, they had a look at this fellow, and it never entered their minds for one moment that perhaps his blindness might be cured, or that the Lord Jesus Christ could do something about it, and or anything like that. They looked upon this blind man as being, how can I put it, a kind of interesting technical problem. And they said, "What was the cause of this? Who sinned? This man or his parents?" And they had no thought at all of this blind man being able to see again. And so they were hoping to enter into a technical discussion about this man's blindness and its origin. Of course, this man being born blind, that would indicate to us that he had never seen anything at all. You know, there are different kinds of blindness. For example, there is color blindness. And here's an interesting piece of information for you. It's quite useless, but it's something that you can use at a party. And did you know that color blindness affects men more than it does women? 7% of men are colorblind, and only 1% of women are colorblind, and nobody has any idea why. Of course, not only is there color blindness, which is caused by a defect in the retina, but there's also some people suffer from a thing called night blindness. In other words, in the light they can see fine, but put them out in the dark at night and they're lost. They're hopeless. They can't see anything. There's also another disease called river blindness, which is an infection of the skin, which in tropical countries can be offset, if you like, to the eyes. And as a result, there are thousands of people, maybe millions, who suffer from this river blindness. And then, of course, there's partial blindness, people who can see straight ahead but can't see out to the side and so on. But there is total blindness as well, sometimes caused by disease, diabetes, hypertension, other things like that, or by accident. Or like this man, he was born blind, and in his life he had never seen a thing. And this man describes it this way, no sense of bitterness in his conversation at all. He says, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind," he had always known that he was blind. He had always known that he couldn't see at all. This man's life was spent in darkness. Of course, he had other ways he could appreciate things: touch, taste, smell, and so on. But seeing anything? No. And not being able to see, of course, robbed him of a whole lot of things. He couldn't see light. He couldn't see color. He couldn't see brightness. He couldn't see shapes. He couldn't see distance. And you know, if you and I are robbed of all those things, it would leave us, I suppose, in a very sorry state. But thankfully, blind people, even today, are able to cope with their blindness by developing their other senses. And some of them seem to manage marvellously well. And of course there are other things now, like guide dogs for the blind and all the rest of it, but back in these days, this man, of course, didn't have any of these things. He was shunned by society. He couldn't take part in the things that the family and the things that society generally were doing, because he simply could not see where he was. He was in total, utter, and complete blindness, and he had been born that way. I just want to pause for a moment or two, because this is the application of the message of the gospel, to say that as far as you and I are concerned, and this includes everyone in the meeting, without exception, me as well, speaker as well as hearers, that everyone in this meeting was born blind. You say, hey, that's not right. I remember, well, you wouldn't remember when you opened your eyes, but you know what I mean. You can remember seeing things when you were quite young. Yes, but I'm not talking about physical blindness. I'm trying to suggest to you this idea of spiritual blindness. Of course, if you're spiritually blind, your eyes are closed. You have no sense of a whole lot of things. For example, if you're spiritually blind, as everybody in the world is born spiritually blind, if you are spiritually blind, there are certain things that you can't see. And the things that you can't see are, or include, as follows. For example, you are blind as to your own self. You can't see who or what you really are. You have no idea that you're a sinner. You have no idea that unless your eyes are open soon, that you will go to a lost eternity. Ideas as to yourself you cannot appreciate nor see, because spiritually you have been born blind. Secondly, if you are born blind, you have no appreciation of sin and what it means to God, because God declares that he hates sin. He is absolutely against sin, to such an extent that he will punish sin. And if you're blind, you simply, that doesn't come into your thoughts at all. Again, if you are born blind spiritually, you're also blind to the fact of the glory and the beauty of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just think of him as another man, maybe a good man, who did good things. But you don't see him in any other way. And if you're born blind, you are absolutely blind to God's salvation, that he has provided a means whereby sinners might be saved. A simple way, a straightforward way, a plain way. And so if you're born blind, these are things that would be all news to you. I cannot see the reality of the sinfulness of my own heart. I cannot see the heinous nature of my sin in the eyes of God. I cannot see nor appreciate the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have no idea that God has provided salvation for people just like me. Why not? Because spiritually I have been born blind. Now let's be technical, like the disciples, and say, why were all these people born spiritually blind? Who sinned? Well, we know the answer to that question. And the whole human race has been born blind spiritually because sin was committed by Adam and Eve. And so it is that since Adam and Eve, every child that has been born into the world has been born spiritually blind. So, this man, born spiritually blind. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says these words, and these are beautiful words. He said, as long as I am in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. Isn't that beautiful? As long as I am in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. We sometimes sing, don't we, the light of the world is Jesus. What a lovely thing if this blind man could have really appreciated it. There was the blind man sitting in darkness, not able to see a thing at all. What he needs is light. And now he hears the Lord Jesus Christ say, I am the light of the world. And he goes on to say, is it in another place, he said, whoso followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I'm sure if that blind man heard those words, that must have raised his hopes. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall see and enjoy the light of life. And that would have raised the blind man's expectations, I suppose, had he heard those words. The Lord Jesus Christ then in mercy and grace goes to this blind man, and he does something that is very strange. Verse number 6 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ spat on the ground, made clay out of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The blind man went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now, of course, that was miraculous, an absolute miracle. The people were so taken aback at it that they questioned it left, right, and center. The Jews were so irritated and annoyed by it that they began to say, well, the man wasn't really blind. We don't think he was blind at all. For all these years, he'd only been letting on that he was blind, maybe was their idea. Or they were saying, well, you know, this isn't the same man. It looks like him, but don't be fooled. No miracle has happened. This is just you've been deceived, and you need to be careful about these things because they don't really happen. But you know, it says the blind man came seeing. And now, later, as he looked back, the blind man said, one thing I know. Well, I suppose there are two things there, maybe, that he knew, but he said, put them together as one. Well, what was the first part of the one thing that he knew? He says, I was blind. He said, I know that. I'm quite sure about that. You know, there are certain things that you know that nobody can shake you about. I know that when I came to Deakin, I came via Toronto and Ottawa by aeroplane. Now, you might say to me, well, that's very strange. Don't you know it's dangerous to fly in aeroplanes? Perhaps you didn't really come by aeroplane, you came some other way because you realized the danger. I would say to you, no, I came by aeroplane. And you would say, well, me, but don't you know that aeroplanes harm the environment? That they burn all this fuel and so on, and they expel it into the atmosphere, and, you know, that's not a very good thing. Perhaps you didn't come by plane after all. Perhaps you came some other way. No, I came by plane. I know that because I experienced it. I was on board. And the blind man says, one thing I know, you can't shake me on this. I was blind, he said. I was blind. And everybody in this meeting that was born spiritually blind would agree with the blind man. And we would say, wouldn't we, one thing I know, that I used to be blind. But now, I see. We're not told what the first thing was that he saw, but he said, the scriptures say, he came seeing. And of course then the Jews get involved in all this, and you know, they line the blind man up, and the neighbors are there, if you like, and the neighbors say, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? They said, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. Isn't that lovely? How were your eyes opened? You would say to me, a man that is called Jesus. But what did he do? He anointed my eyes with clay. He made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. More than that, then the Pharisees came. And they said, what happened? What did he do? If you like. And then some people said, well, this man must be a sinner because he does these things on the Sabbath day. Other people say, well, he can't be a sinner because if he were a sinner, he couldn't do these miracles. So they said to the blind man, what do you think about him? And the blind man said, I think he's a prophet, he said. Well, I suppose that was a bit of a development, not very far, but he said, I think he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe him that was born blind. And they called his parents, and they go over the thing with his parents, and they ask them, saying, is this your son? Answer, we know that this is our son. Is this your son whom ye say was born blind? And they say, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. You couldn't shake the parents on that either. Well, they said, if this is your son, how then does he now see? Well, they'd asked the man himself, and if you thought they'd been satisfied with that, now they're asking his parents. But his parents are a bit quick in their feet and quick in their minds, and they say, yep, we know that this is our son, we know that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we have no idea. You better ask him, he is of age. And then, of course, they call the blind man again. And they go through the thing again. And they say about the Lord Jesus, we know that this man is a sinner. And the blind man says, whether he be a sinner or no, and then we have our text. And then the Jews say to the blind man, the Pharisees say, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? The blind man, getting slightly irritated now, says, I've told you already. Do you want me to tell you again? Would you like to become his disciples? And of course that makes them so angry that they dismiss the blind man and so on and tell him that he was altogether born in sins and etc. But let's go back to our text. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Now, one of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah specifically came to do was, he tells us himself in Isaiah chapter 42, if you like, where it's prophesied concerning him, he said, I have come to open the eyes of the blind. And you remember when he spoke for that first time in the synagogue at Nazareth, he stood up and he read, again, amongst other things, that he was come to set free the prisoners and to give the recovering of sight to the blind. These were the miraculous things whereby the Messiah would be recognized. And now that was what he was doing here on earth. He was giving sight to the blind. On what basis could he give sight to the blind? He was able to give sight to the blind, even to those who were born blind, on the basis of the fact that he was the Son of God and that all power in heaven and earth had been given unto him. In other words, he was able to do whatever he liked. And one of the things that he liked to do was to let blind people see. So, once I was blind, now I see. So everything's different now. Everything has changed. Light has shone. The blind man, for the first time, was able to see himself. I wonder what he thought. He was able to see himself. Have you ever really seen yourself? Well, if you're spiritually blind, you haven't. But those of us who now have received spiritual sight, we do have the ability to see ourselves, and I tell you, we don't like much what we see. The Apostle Paul, when he saw himself, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, he said. And when people really see themselves for what they are, they don't like what they see. And then, of course, he was able to see for the first time his own sin. When we received sight, were able to see our sin as well, and we didn't like that much either. And we can understand how God didn't like it. Because sin is evil, is wicked, is bad, is horrible. And our lives are full of it. It comes from within. It emanates from an evil heart of unbelief. Sin. But you know, one of the things that we saw when our eyes were opened was we saw the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember the words of the little chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And it must have been lovely for the blind man later on in this story, when the Lord Jesus Christ met with him again, it must have been lovely for the blind man to stand and look at the man who had given him his sight. And you know, those of us who are saved and on the way to heaven and can see spiritually, one of the things that we haven't seen so far, except in our imagination by the eye of faith, we might say, one of the things that we haven't seen is we haven't seen the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day we shall. You remember the Bible tells us that one day, or as the hymn writer says, we shall see him face to face, said the hymn writer. Face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. So our salvation is not complete yet, it has only started. It is in one sense a finished work that has been done, and in the other sense salvation is an ongoing thing that will culminate when we get into heaven itself by the Lord Jesus Christ coming for us, or by the article of death. And so we look forward to that day when we can see our Saviour face to face. Furthermore, we can also now see the dilemma that we were in, the danger that we were in, the things that might have happened to us, and we can now see too our security, which is eternal. How good it is to know. The Lord Jesus Christ said in another place, he said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish," he said, "neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So it's marvellous to be able to see. And I just want to challenge you in the meeting today and to ask you whether spiritually you're still blind, or whether spiritually you can now see. If you say to me, "I see," then I have some questions for you. Who did it? How did he do it? What did he do to you? And where is he? Well, you see, who did it? Well, there's only one person can do it, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else can effect this miracle. He alone has the ability and the power to do it. And on what grounds can he do it? Because he is the Son of God, because he is all-powerful, because all authority and all judgment has been committed to him, because he shed his precious blood at the place called Calvary, in order that sinners like you and me may not endure the penalty of our sins eternally, and that we might be released from the chains of bondage and blindness with which we are bound, it was Jesus who was able to do it. When I got saved, there is no question in my mind, but it was Jesus who did it. You say to me, "So you're saved then? You can see spiritually?" And I say, "Yes, thank God I am, and I can." Question one, who did it? Jesus. You know, that's what all believers think. That's what all believers believe. And one day we shall all gather around him in heaven and sing in a song words like this: "Unto him who loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own precious blood, be glory and honor and dominion and power now and forevermore." We believe that Jesus did it. How did he do it? As I've said, upon the grounds of his death upon the cross at Calvary, which satisfied God's demands against sin and against sinners. What did he do? Well, you know, he does it in slightly different ways. As for me, I was at a gospel meeting as a boy of 16. I was concerned about my soul's salvation. When I got home, I lived with my widowed mother, and I remember that she said to me, "You want to be saved?" And I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "Well, will I go and get the preacher?" And I said, "No, I don't want to see the preacher." And there was a good Christian man lived in the next street to us, went to the assembly, called Mr. McCartney. She said, "Well, I go and get Mr. McCartney then." And I said, "No, I don't want Mr. McCartney." My mum said, "Well, what will I do?" And I said, "I want to be saved." And as we sort of thought the thing through and talked about it, that lovely verse came into my mind from the Acts of the Apostles. Remember in the prison, where the jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the message came, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and saved thou art." I believed and I was saved. And I remember saying to my mother, I think the next day, I said, "You know, Mum, everybody else now is going to get saved." She said, "Why do you think that, son?" I said, "Because it's so easy. It's so simple. You can see it just like that. Mind you, before that I couldn't see it at all. Why not? Because I was blind. But now that I could see, it looked so simple, so straightforward, so easy, I thought the whole world would go after him. But of course they didn't. And they won't. Because they continue in their blindness. And you know, helped in their blindness, they are by Satan, whom the Bible says, Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, just in case the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in on them and they should be saved. Satan's interest is that you will not be saved. And of course he did it all through his death at the place called Calvary, when taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, our Lord Jesus Christ died and bore the wrath of God against sin and sinners. And from that day, from the time of his resurrection, out from the grave, the message of the gospel is proclaimed to all and sundry and in all places, offering salvation, offering sight, offering spiritual security, that men and women might come to Christ for salvation. And so, says the blind man, one thing I know, one, the only thing worth knowing, the best thing you could ever know. What is it? For as I was blind, now I see. Wouldn't this be a marvelous weekend, a marvelous meeting, a marvelous Lord's Day, if somebody who has come into this meeting still in spiritual blindness were able to leave it later in the day and say, one thing I know, for as I was blind, now I see. May God bless his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank thee for the testimony of this man in John 9 who was born blind. Our Father, we remember the shiftiness of the Pharisees, we remember the fears of his parents, we remember the technicalities being discussed by the disciples, and we are greatly refreshed by the straightforwardness of this man. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. We remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to him later, who, as he explained to him, that he was indeed more than a prophet, that he was the Son of God, and we thank thee the blind man said, I will believe, and so we believe he did. We thank thee for giving him sight, we thank thee for giving him salvation. We thank thee too for giving us sight and giving us salvation, and we pray that this might be the experience of many in this area of Deakin and the countryside surrounding, who will in days to come come to a saving knowledge of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, our Father, we bless thee for the opportunity of proclaiming the message and for the opportunity of being together to enjoy it and to share in its benefits. For these blessings, we praise thy name and ask thy blessing upon thy word as we separate, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we might just like to take time to sing a hymn from the Blue Book, if we may. Do we know 153 here? Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I shall never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the needs of my heart, shadows dispelling. With joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed, riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Hymn number 153, after which the meeting is over.
Wonderful day.